EADS faces formal complaints of insider trading. NASA still refuses to finish its aviation safety study. And the FAA insists it's on track to fill the controller shortage. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 2, 2008. The French financial market regulator filed a formal complaint Tuesday against European Aeronautic Defense and Space, the parent company of Airbus, and more than a dozen current and former executives in connection with alleged insider trading. The New York Times reports evidence has also been sent to the Paris prosecutor's office for use in any possible criminal inquiry. Prosecutors have not identified specific officials. The case is expected to expose whether EADS and Airbus managers knew of serious delays in the Airbus A380 program when they exercised stock options from November 2005 to March of 2006. The public wasn't told of the issues until June 2006. EADS CEO Louis Gallois says the company will support its managers in their defense and, quote, "It intends to demonstrate that it has applied standards of excellence when communicating to the market and has acted with full transparency," unquote. NASA is still dealing with fallout from its cover-up of a four-year pilot safety study. MSNBC cites a report by the space agency's own inspector general, which finds the agency shut down the project without ever properly evaluating, explaining, or publicizing its purpose and results, and lost a chance for valuable insight into safety issues. The inspector's office says NASA should follow through and interpret and analyze the results of the interviews with 30,000 pilots. In its written response, NASA has rejected that suggestion. The $11.3 million study reportedly showed safety-related incidents occur at rates much higher than reported by the FAA. NASA decided to terminate the project and told the Associated Press that disclosing the information could have a negative effect on airline profits and public confidence. Congress subsequently launched an investigation. On Tuesday, Congressman Dave Weldon's office issued a statement saying that NASA has been forced to admit there will be far more layoffs at Kennedy Space Center and other major manned spaceflight centers across the country than the public had previously been led to believe. Weldon, who is a Florida Republican, has been trying to get Congress to spend more money on NASA than budgeted by the Bush administration to save jobs in his state after the scheduled retirement of the shuttle fleet. He says he fought for an amendment requiring NASA to produce the employment impact report and update it every 6 months. In its revised estimate, NASA now estimates there will be at least 6,400 jobs eliminated between fiscal year 2008 and fiscal year 2011 at Kennedy Space Center alone. Of those 6,400, NASA forecasts that 4,800 will come all in 1 year, 2011. The numbers could grow if problems arise with the Constellation program due to technological or funding issues. The report also exposed that NASA currently has only a 33% confidence level that it will be able to have the next manned spaceflight vehicle, Constellation, ready for flight by 2013. That confidence level rises only to 65% for a launch by 2015. That means the gap between the shuttle and its replacement could widen beyond 5 years. Weldon says this is a national security issue, given continued strength in Russian and Chinese space programs. The FAA says it's on schedule in its plan to hire and train nearly 17,000 air traffic controllers over the next decade. The FAA hired over 1,800 controllers last year and expects to hire nearly 1,900 in fiscal 08. The details are laid out in the controller workforce plan released on Tuesday. Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill says, quote, "We're on target and our newly hired controllers are highly motivated. Significant improvements in the way we recruit, hire, and train people are helping us manage through this predicted transition period." The FAA is touting improvements in training, which it says have lowered the training time to become a fully certified controller from an average of 3 to 5 years to an average of 2 to 3 years. Among the new tools are 18 new tower simulators at air traffic facilities throughout the U.S. and 6 new sims at the FAA's Air Traffic Controller Academy in Oklahoma City. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association has disputed the impact of the new process and says the only way to avoid a controller shortage is for the FAA to return to the bargaining table. In fact, expect an ATCA response to Tuesday's FAA press release any minute now. Up next on ANN, British Airways is having a very bad week at Terminal 5. United Airlines mechanics vote for representation by the Teamsters. And NASA okays an automated cargo ship to dock at the International Space Station. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 2nd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. British Airways canceled 54 more flights at its gleaming new Terminal 5 at Heathrow Airport on Monday, as it struggled with a problem which sounds like deja vu to longtime U.S. flyers, a computerized baggage handling system that's already helped misdirect at least 15,000 pieces of luggage. Remember Denver International, where they fought the machines for a decade, then finally tore them out? The New York Times reports BA has now canceled more than 250 flights in the 5 days since last Thursday, when the new terminal opened to the public. The teething problems could not come at a worse time for British Airways, already battling the high fuel prices and declining consumer confidence, which are affecting the entire industry. Analyst Gert Zonneveld of Panmure Gordon in London estimates BA could lose $50 million U.S., directly attributed to the problems at its new terminal. The Teamsters Union has been sharply critical lately of management at United Airlines. Apparently, United's mechanics like what they've been hearing. Reuters reports the Teamsters have won an election held Monday and will now represent United Mechanics. The Teamsters have unseated the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association in voting by 6,500 active and furloughed mechanics. AMFA had the job since 2003 and is expected to step aside once the election results are certified by the National Mediation Board. Over the last 2 years, Teamsters President Jim Hoffa focused on fighting maintenance outsourcing and criticizing United's executive compensation deals. The airline put the best possible face on the election's outcome. Quote, United is committed to working productively with the elected representatives of our employees, and we look forward to working with the Teamsters to ensure United's position as a strong, profitable, and competitive airline. The Teamsters already represent 40,000 airline workers, including 9,000 mechanics and related employees at 11 airlines. The National Transportation Safety Board says bad weather and a pilot in over his head in stormy nighttime conditions caused a crash that killed a Florida neurologist and his 17-year-old son 2 years ago. The probable cause report was quoted by the Palm Beach Post. 55-year-old Roger Kane and his son Adam were on their way to St. Lucie International Airport after visiting relatives in St. Petersburg when their 1972 Beech Sierra A24R went down about 8:30 p.m. on April 25, 2006. The wreckage was found 2 days later in a field in northwestern Okeechobee County, and the pattern of the debris field suggested the plane had broken apart in midair before it hit the ground. The NTSB probable cause report issued late Monday notes a moderate intensity thunderstorm in the area. There was also little moonlight in the area that night. The board summed up, quote, it is likely that the pilot at least lost all visual reference, became disoriented, and lost control of the airplane, unquote. Kane was not instrument rated. It looks as if NASA will soon have one more option for getting cargo to the International Space Station. Florida Today reports Europe's new 22-ton automated cargo-carrying spacecraft moved to within 36 feet of the International Space Station Monday, then backed away as designed, and now it's scheduled to actually dock with the station tomorrow. The ship was launched on March 9th from the northern coast of South America and had performed a first set of similar tests on Saturday. NASA's Rob Navius said of the latest test, quote, all of today's activities went by the book, no issues, all of that activity functioned as advertised, unquote. The spacecraft carries about 5 tons of cargo for the station and could become an important way to resupply the station when the space shuttles stop flying in 2010. Still ahead, NATCA honors 12 controllers with the Archie League Medal of Safety. The NTSB wants the FAA to mandate transponders in gliders. And the FAA nails a maintenance company for using non-standard glossy paint. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 2nd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. NATCA honored some of its finest members on Tuesday for exceptional contributions to air safety, demonstrating extraordinary capability in critical flight assists in 2007. The Archie League Medal of Safety, named for the first air traffic controller, will be awarded to 12 controllers for their involvement in 10 flight assists. The complete recipient list can be found on our website at aero-news.net. NATCA President Patrick Forey said of the group, quote, "These controllers stand for everything that is right in our profession. I can tell you that their actions demonstrated their skill and determination, as well as their dedication, the true spirit of the profession and NATCA," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board issued recommendations to the FAA Tuesday for new policies on gliders. The board wants FAA to remove transponder exemptions, create a range of transponder codes unique to gliders to better identify them to controllers, develop transponder installation recommendations for glider owners to speed the adoption of the technology, and to make sure controllers get trained on the new codes. The board's recommendations follow an August 2006 mid-air collision near Smith, Nevada, between a sailplane and a jet. I think it's time to buy stock in a battery company. Maintaining certificated airplanes can be tricky. The Chicago Tribune has been closely following the airliner maintenance audits ordered by the FAA. The paper reports an AAR Corporation facility in Miami outfitted hundreds of Boeing jetliners with landing gear equipment that had been painted in an unapproved fashion over a period of years, according to an FAA safety alert. Unapproved in what way, you say? The March 25th unapproved parts notification from the FAA's Flight Standards Service said that in some cases, overhauled truck beams had been sent back into service with a glossy enamel on certain surfaces, contrary to Boeing's maintenance manuals. The FAA says that violates one of its directives issued in September of 2001. AAR says that directive mentions only painting over a drain hole, and that Boeing has authorized the glossy enamel paint it used. The company insists its work complies with all regulations and is in line with standard industry practice. And finally, here's one thing I'm glad to say did not happen first in America. The use of mobile phones on planes flying in European airspace has been given approval by Ofcom, a regulator in the UK. Airlines will soon be able to offer mobile services on UK-registered aircraft, usable once a plane has reached an altitude of 3,000 meters or more, or about 9,000 feet. There will be other hurdles to jump. The European Aviation Safety Agency will need to approve any hardware installed in aircraft to make sure it doesn't interfere with navigation. And the UK's Civil Aviation Authority says airlines will need to develop operating procedures to ensure cabin crew are trained in the proper use of the systems. If you're an American already fed up with the intrusion of rude cell phone callers into every other corner of your life, you have no worries so far. The systems proposed will use miniature cell sites on the planes themselves and may only function within European airspace. I'll have to admit I'm divided on this technology intrusion thing. This Aerocast was written and produced on a notebook computer from the front seat of my truck at a rest area along I-84 near Boise, Idaho. Yeah, okay, I'll admit it. I'm a nerd. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Given the tight confines of my mobile production facility today, I'm going to lean on a rerun, but it's an important one. It's my recent chat with Andy Sabula of AOPA, and we touched on Florida's tax trap, a use fee charged to pilots visiting Florida. Unless you can afford to write a much bigger check than I can for attending Sun and Fun, you need to check this one out. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.